Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my next guest, his name is Rich, and I've had the pleasure of at least virtually knowing him for some time now. And I'm super excited to have him on. Not only is he going to kind of share about his Lyme journey, but he's also, you know, got some journeys with some drug addictions, some family issues. And, you know, the title of my new podcast is Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And, you know, I say beyond for many reasons, not just because there's Lyme, co-infections, mold, parasites, all that, but because so much of it is mindset and emotional and trauma that we have from our past that we need to work through during this journey. Like, there's so many things that go into truly healing from the root, top to bottom, when it comes to Lyme disease. And so I've asked Rich if he can just kind of be vulnerable with us today and just dive into all the stuff that was really hard for him, and maybe share some great tips that, you know, worked for him to get through it. He's got an incredible journey. He's doing amazing things out in the community, and I'm just so, so excited to have him on. So thanks so much for joining me, Rich. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Tanya. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share my story and to help out in any way I can. So thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. I love it. So where do we start? Do we want to kind of start with like when you first got sick? And I know there's so much, right? Like, pick a story.
We can start with the Lyme and then go backwards, go forward, go, you know, sideways.
However you want to do it, it's your story.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself. But, you know, since Lyme is how we connected and this is your podcast about Lyme, I think maybe that's where I start. I got diagnosed with Lyme disease in, I think it was November, December 2019, when I was in rehab in New York. And I'm beyond grateful, because I truly believe that the doctor there in New York, who was very dedicated, we could say, about, you know, helping with Lyme disease as well as diagnosing and noticed that was a huge issue there in upstate New York. And so I felt like if I came back to California, I might not have been diagnosed with it. And I might have been fighting that very large uphill battle of trying to figure out what it was. However, I also believe that it's all one and the same in a sense, especially when it comes to the healing. So when I look back, I truly believe that I could have had it for years. The only reason why I went to the doctor is I was already at a hospital at this rehab facility through the VA. So I'd already been there for a couple of months, and the fatigue that came on was unlike anything else. I've been in the Marine Corps. I've you know, worked 2 days in a row, you know, I've worked on very little sleep. I've done lots of drugs and messed with my endocrine system as well as my hormones and everything. And this fatigue was just brutal. I couldn't keep my eyes open throughout the day. I'd be standing, talking to people and dozing off. But all the other symptoms, gosh, I'd had them for years. I don't even know where to start. And I do feel like they all kind of mesh. I truly believed I had mold toxicity maybe about 2 years prior from one of the places I was working at. Again, because of all the symptoms. I had symptoms of depression, of brain fog, of muscle soreness, which was constant, arthritis, and just a very general feeling of unwellness. And I know, again, I know that has a lot to do with the addictions that I had, the drug addictions, the depression, the PTSD, and everything intertwined. So it really is hard to figure out exactly when I got the Lyme. Like I said, I was diagnosed in December 2019, and I went on 30 days of antibiotics for that. And as well as obviously fighting and battling the addiction, I was also dealing with my thyroid issue. I was dealing now with Lyme and several other medical issues. So I was doing this, I guess, in a sense, all in one healing, curing attempt, which I truly believed, you know, really played a huge part in helping all of them, helping me heal from all of them.
Kind of a 2-for-1 or a 3-for-1, right?
Or a 10-for-1, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, because I was just going to ask, and I don't know. So for the listeners out there, hopefully we don't lose you because I might be jumping all over the place with this story because there's just so much to talk about. And so my question was, okay, so if you're having all these symptoms and you had it for a long time, was your drug addiction, like, has that been going on for many years? Because I would think that if you're on drugs and you have this problem, I'm assuming that you have all these random weird things, right? Like our brain isn't working right. I don't know. Do all the things come with that when you're doing with drugs? And so is there a way to kind of think, why did you not think that it was just the drugs? And why did you think maybe you were sick or maybe you wouldn't have known that, like you said, if you weren't in New York?
Great question. How do I unpack that? Well, number one is I'd had medical issues or health issues probably since fifth grade. And to bring up what you brought up earlier about trauma, I truly believe trauma is the root cause for almost every disease. Well, and again, that then leads to all kinds of problems within our body. But one of the biggest things is we start holding our breath, our muscles start tightening, we put ourselves in this fight or flight state, and then all of a sudden everything just starts falling apart on us. And then from there, we have stomach issue. That was one of my biggest things. Sleep problems, ailments, and they just slowly creep up and we don't even realize it. But fourth grade is when I found out the truth behind my father. So my father committed suicide when I was six, and my mom told me in fourth grade, and that's when things seemed to change. That's just my theory, of course. But first, second, and third grade, I just remember having a lot of fun. I was in first grade when he died. And I just remember in first through third grade, just playing and just being, I don't remember, you know, coming home thinking this kid didn't like me. He's not my friend. Wasn't he? I don't remember anything. Fourth grade, we moved. I started, you know, having a little bit of those feelings. Didn't really know anybody, the new kid. Then fifth grade, we moved again. And that's when it, you know, started getting real, you know, bad. I remember that's when I started thinking a lot about, not necessarily thinking about suicide, but just about dying and not wanting to live and things of that nature. So I really believe that trauma had a huge role in all this. I didn't start doing any drugs until, well, I say that and the number keeps going back because of how what I determined was a drug or not, if that makes sense. I had been a cop and an athlete and a Marine my whole life. So I was completely against drugs unless it fit into my, you know, box or criteria that was, you know, okay, such as steroids when I was fighting or supplements that were kind of gray market and just things of that nature. And I would just, but the street drugs, those were the ones that were really bad, according to, you know, what Dare told me and everything else. And me being a cop, I'd been a cop for 15 years. I'd been a pro athlete, a college athlete. So I'd always been around and, you know, drug testing. And so again, I was so anti-drugs. I wouldn't be friends with you if you smoked weed, especially around me. And so it was just, I look back and just how ignorant it was, all of it was. And so I'm at around 32, 33 or so, and I have maybe 34, and I have a deep cut on my shin, and I get prescribed Norcos. And that is where my addiction started there. I'd been prescribed Norcos twice before when I was younger after surgeries, but barely. Anyways, in summary, it's so hard to answer. You know what I mean? The drugs played a huge part, but I'd only been having the issue with the drugs for about 8 or 9, maybe 10 years when I was at the rehab there with the Lyme. And I'd been having issues before that. The drugs really felt like it helped me, especially in the beginning. It gave me energy. It took away the pain. One of the biggest things, it quieted my voice. All the noises in my voice had been just the anger, the hate, the rage, the disappointment, the regrets, the guilt. And I believe that plays one of the biggest parts. When we don't have healthy coping mechanisms, we start leaning on unhealthy coping mechanisms, which was for me TV and Netflix and gaming and porn and sex and, you know, you know, infidelity and then drugs, alcohol, and basically anything I can get a hold of, in a sense, to distract me from reality or any of these problems in the past. And I just think that just, you know, continues to snowball and snowball and snowball until it gets too, just way too big.
Yeah. And when you turn to these unhealthy coping mechanisms, they make us feel great, right? Like you said, it makes you forget about what life is really about, or let's sweep that under the rug. And then, yeah, I can absolutely see how it can, you know, become your way of life, because we don't know how, a lot of us don't have those skills. And it sounds like you missed out on a lot of those skills when you were younger, because I too believe that trauma, and especially sometimes from our early childhood, right, is the root of so much evil. And we don't necessarily know it at the time, right? And so if we're thrown into this type of emotional trauma at a young age, and our parents don't recognize it, or we don't recognize it, or it's not a topic, right, for us to kind of work through and figure out what happened, then yeah, I mean, it's a snowball down the rest of your life, I think.
I couldn't agree more. And mind you, I'm not putting the blame on anybody else. These were all my decisions. It was my free will. And mind you, that was one of the most freeing and peaceful things in the world, learning that and understanding that. Because if I could destroy my life that badly, wait a second, maybe I can create an amazing life. Because that's what I was doing before. And I look back and I manifested everything. I manifested losing custody of my kids. I, to a certain degree, I believe I manifested, you know, losing my mom to cancer. Not that I could have necessarily changed that, but maybe I could have. But all I did was all these horrible things that were going on in my life, I would dwell in them, and I would soak in them. And it took me, I think, 25, almost 30 years to forgive my father. And I was so angry about anybody that committed suicide. I had such strong words, you know, about them being cowards and them just not, you know, not being able to suck it up. But I just didn't believe in depression. I'd been told over and over again I was angry. I wasn't depressed. I didn't have PTSD. I went through the Marine Corps. I'd seen dead bodies, you know, as a cop and a Marine. And I kept saying, no, I don't have PTSD. I'm just angry. I'm just angry. But I was also afraid to admit that I was depressed or PTSD.
That's
because of my job.
What I was going to say. So I think it's more of acknowledging or admitting, right, that maybe we aren't this, you know, this untouchable beast, that nothing can go wrong with us, you know, strong mind, I can do anything. And I think that's also a little bit harder for the male version, right, versus the female, especially when it comes to, well, to anything, but Lyme in particular, right? Like a lot of people don't like to talk about it. And it's because they have so much shame or so much guilt that they got sick and they couldn't provide for their family, or they couldn't do this or they couldn't do that. It's interesting out there in the Lyme community, the like the percentage ratios of male to female, right? Like it's the last couple of years, there's been a lot more men coming out about it, but most of us are women. And I guarantee you just as many men go through the Lyme journey, right? But I think it's kind of, and ego is probably not the right word, but yeah. And so I would say in your case, yeah, anybody in their right mind that went through and saw what you did is going to have some trauma, is going to have something behind it, but you weren't okay acknowledging that.
Yeah, no, you brought up guilt earlier and then acknowledging. I couldn't acknowledge anything to anybody else, never mind myself. You know, I could not unpack things. I just shoved things. You know, I remember my closet when I lived in Fallbrook, California, and that was what my life looked like. It was first all my boxes when I moved in there. And then if I needed something, I'd go in there and open it up, and then the box would fall apart. And then that box would fall into the next box. And it was just a big disaster. Like, and I just dreaded going in there. If I needed to find something, like my kids were like, hey, where's this toy? I'm like, it's in the closet of doom. I didn't want to go anywhere near there. And that was my life. It was just constantly this pushing things away, shoving things away, not understanding. And back to the drugs, those drugs made me feel better than I'd ever felt before. It took away the physical pain that I'd been having off and on since at least 15, from injuries, from sports, from, again, I think trauma, just, you know, that constant fight or flight. And I'll be honest, I really believe that I was in fight or flight probably since fourth grade, to some certain degree. I just remember constantly moments of happiness, without a doubt, but they were always fleeting. I just don't remember having peace. I don't remember having joy. I felt like my mom was trying to step up to be my father more so than my mother, because that's what she felt like she needed to do. So I just remember being a lot of yelling and go to your room, and just not being a lot of communication. I was talking about it, and just not being a lot of coping mechanisms, at least healthy wise. I'm grateful for sports and then martial arts, especially wrestling, to help me get through all that, because it was without a doubt hard. And I look back, my mom passed from cancer about 3 years ago. And I look back at how difficult her struggle was. She was just always tired, was always in pain, was always talking about, I remember her talking about, you know, wanting to retire since she was 50. And then she finally got to the age of retirement, retires, and then gets cancer. And so she was just exhausted. And it was just, you know, she never dealt with the loss of my father. Had another close loss. She lost all of her siblings. After my dad died, 3 months later, her only brother died. 6 months after that, my only grandmother died. And then my mom was one of eight. When she passed, she was, there was her and her sister left, and the other six had passed. And so now there's only one of her sisters left. And so my family's known a lot of loss and grief. And I think so the generational trauma, because I think humans as a whole, humanity, has only known fear. All we know is war, recession, depression, anger, hate, rage, you know, yeah, moments of peace here and there. But it's just, there's always just something going on. And that was what my life definitely felt like. And so I finally started feeling that peace probably about 2.5 years ago. And it's changed my life.
And you know, it is. It's just, you know, outside of even having any type of an illness, you know, life can be rough, right? Yes. Life cannot be fair. Or we seem like it's not fair. And when we go through a journey like Lyme disease, right? And you had, you know, your drug journey as well. But when we go through a journey like Lyme disease, we learn so many things about us, about our life, about how we used to feel, how we now feel, how we think we're going to, like, it just truly transforms us from inside out. I think whether we want it to or not, like, it just does. And so then it's like, where do we run with it from here? But I think it's just so important to talk about how managing things and finding good, healthy coping mechanisms, right? Because you had mentioned just a short while ago about how you thought your dad was a coward, right? And I think suicide is huge in the Lyme community, because one, many people commit suicide. But two, I think more of us than not has actually contemplated it. And I know that I can say for myself, I was in that dark place about 4 years into my mysterious illness, right? Didn't know what it was. And I just thought, if nothing's wrong with me, right? Doctors say nothing's wrong with you, then I can't get well. And if I can't get well, I guarantee you I can't live like this, right? I was in too much pain. It was just horrible. And I actually was so sick in the brain that my older brother passed away when he was 22. And so my parents already lost a child to an illness, right? But then I had a younger brother. So I'm literally telling myself, it's okay. My parents will forgive me when I take my own life, because at least they still have one child. They know how sick I was. Like, who thinks like that, right? Like, it just really messes with your brain. And fortunately, you know, not getting sick until, you know, I guess my late 30s, I experienced friends and family that had gone through the suicide. And my thought always was, what a coward. What a coward. How could life be that bad, right? Like, it's a, what's the phrase? It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem, right? And I never could understand. And I would get mad at them. I'm like, you're so unfair to your friends. You're so, I never understood it, right? Like, you were so against drugs, right? And you never understood it. I never understood suicide until I was put in that position. And I don't think I ever could have done it, because I was too chicken, We are not cowards. Those that take our lives are not cowards. It is probably one of the hardest things I think you could ever even imagine. But I never discovered that until I was there, right? Like, I'm like, what's the easiest way to do it? Like, I, you know, whatever. I don't want to go too in depth with that. But I'm just like, the only thing I can do is just swallow a bunch of pills, right? Like, that would just be the easiest thing, I think. But I mean, it's not a coward move, but I think it goes along with saying that I didn't have coping skills, right? I didn't know how to cope with what I was going through because, for one, I didn't know what I was going through, right? And then you have these doctors who gaslight us, right, and tell us that we're crazy, it's in our head, or this or that. So there's, you know, it's not always not having coping skills, because I had a great childhood. I always remember nothing but positive memories. So, and I know that that's, you know, few and far between with a lot of people, right? They go through a lot of struggles in their childhood. And I'm very grateful and blessed that I didn't. I had an amazing childhood. And I, you know, learned the things that I was supposed to do. But we don't learn the things that are unexpected in life, right? Like when we get sick or get addicted to drugs, like nobody taught us that kind of thing. Like kind of, you don't teach somebody, you know, how to have a baby and what you're supposed to do with it. You know, there's no dummy book 101 or something on. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, when things that we're not used to experiencing, we don't know how to cope with them.
Yeah. And think about it. You know, where are we going to learn that from? Our parents. And if our parents don't have coping, you know, mechanisms, you know, probably chances are that, you know, just the term emotional intelligence is brand new. Now, mind you, I don't think it was really necessary, you know, generations ago, because just things were just so different. Mm-hmm. And that's what we, you know, things change, constantly change, you know, and we have to ebb and flow with those changes. And that's where I think we as humans struggle, is with those changes. But back to what you were saying about Lyme and about mindset, I could not be more grateful for Lyme, as well as the drug addiction, everything else. Because like I said, I'd been sick. I'd been, you know, not feeling well most of my life. I remember when I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism in around 2000, maybe six, you know, thinking that was it. I'd gotten put on a couple different antidepressants, especially ones that had, you know, pain reduction or anti-inflammatory, and that helped a little bit. And so I'd been off and on of pharmaceuticals, because I was no problem with pharmaceuticals. I believed in the government. I trusted them completely. And I'm not speaking badly about them, but it just...
Well, that's what's wrong with you, Rich. No, I'm kidding.
But I was completely against the street drugs, but these drugs. So I was trying all those drugs. And then again, messing a little bit with steroids and some other stuff. So that none of that helped. And then not eating the best of diets. But I truly believe mindset played a huge role in it. And being grateful for everything in my life now, later I can share with what I have now, which is little to nothing. And I'm grateful for all of it now. Whereas before, I had what I thought was the dream life, what society says. I was married. I had two great, you know, amazing wife, amazing kids, house. I would be at Disneyland and I just would be miserable. My back was always hurting. My knee was hurting. My mind was, you know, I was either hot, I was cold. And so I think all this really plays a huge part in Lyme. And I don't know if all this is Lyme. I don't know if it's caused Lyme. I don't know if it's from, nor does it matter to me. I've gotten to the point where it doesn't matter to me. I know the steps that I took to heal from Lyme, from hypothyroidism, from arthritis, from all my medical conditions. I think that those ways are what help heal all of it. I think, because I do think it comes down to one problem, is our central nervous system being dysregulated. And I believe once that becomes regulated, all of a sudden all these things start kind of going back into place and our body starts working the way it's supposed to work. And I do truly 100% believe our body's capable of healing anything and everything. And I know you and I have gotten a lot of pushback, and our mutual friend Ricky as well, especially when we talk about mindset. But that power of gratitude is, you know, I work a lot with the homeless community, a lot with, you know, the addiction community, and a lot of people with ailments. I have one friend who has MS and Parkinson's, and when we're fully in gratitude, we don't see the ugly anymore. Now, mind you, it's hard when you're in it, when you're really And that gratitude came even when I was still in it. And to a certain degree, I am still in it now. My health is absolutely amazing, but I don't have everything back that I, you know, I still don't have custody or connection with my kids. My mom passed away. My sister, I haven't seen her in 2 or 3 years. We, you know, talk, you know, here and there, but mostly you do text, just because of the, you know, just I think a lot of the trauma that's been happening, no, nobody's fault necessary, you know, if anybody's, be mine, but, it just all of it just, it all relates. And it's not just one simple thing, but I do think that when we find peace internally, then all of a sudden, all these ailments, all these diseases, all these disabilities all start falling away, because I'm in the absolute best shape that I've ever been, especially mentally. Physically, I still have, you know, several things that I can't do that I used to be able to do, you know, with my shoulder and like knees and things. But there's also plenty of my injuries that I have reversed the effects on, you know, my flexibility, my speed, my strength in other areas have gone through the roof. But again, that trauma and the lack of coping mechanisms really, really affect the Lyme, the mental health, and all kinds of disease and disabilities in and around that.
Yeah, I can't agree more. And yes, I do hear many times, you know, that mindset isn't that important, but I hear it too many times afterwards, right? Like, I can't speak for myself because these are things I learned after I got well, right? Like, and so that's why it's so important for me to share, you know, with the listeners about, I promise you, if I would have had a different mindset, you know, and granted, my mindset did change when I finally, 7 years in, got my diagnosis, so much so that every day I knew I was going to get better. There was nothing stopping me. I was going to get better no matter what. So I can't say that my mindset didn't change, but I didn't have a lot of the coping skills, right? Like, there's a lot of anxiety that goes along with this, and I didn't know how to deal with them other than pop some pills, right? And luckily, that never became an addiction problem to me. But I did, you know, I did the antidepressants. I did the anxiety meds. I even did the pain meds for many, many years because that was what got me through, right? And I feel that there's a time and place for all of that, right? I'm not total, you know, saying no on any of that. But coping, like, how do we cope? How do we work through things? You know, and so, yeah, we do. Like you said, we kind of get some flack from people because they're like, no, that's not going to work. Well, you know what? If what you're doing isn't working, why not try it, right? Like, what do you got to lose, right? And so, I don't even know, is Dr. Phil still around on TV anymore? Don't know. But I just remember watching him years ago when I was sick. And you'd always say, okay, and so how's that working out for you, right? Like, it's not working out for you. Let's change it up. What do we got to change and what do we got to do? So can we dive kind of quickly back into what you did to get you through your Lyme journey, kind of what you healed? Because you said you were able to kind of reverse everything. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Of course. That was my second rehab. So I'm probably about 5 months into my journey of dealing with my drug addiction as well as all these other problems, because like I said, once I unwrapped the drug addiction and finally asked for help, I realized I had all kinds of other problems. I realized I had addictions to porn and sex and drama and negativity. And, I hadn't really opened up or dealt with my trauma about my oldest son, who I, in a sense, basically gave up. And kind of left, not necessarily exactly in that way, but I didn't do my parts, you know, legally I did, but morally I didn't. And it was just out of absolute fear. And so, it's like I said, about 5 months in when I got to the second rehab, and when I was diagnosed with the Lyme, I just started fasting, which to this day, you know, so this is 2019. I've been fasting for maybe about 2 or 3 months, mostly intermittent fasting. And then a couple extended fasts, you know, at that time, maybe was working up to like 24 hour fasts, maybe 36 was the most of the time. And so with that being said, fasting to this day has been absolutely crucial and vital to my healing. I believe fasting from all worldly things is so important, to just remove things from our lives, because we are so distracted as humans, especially Western and, you know, society in America. We just have so many things that can easily distract us from just being still. And that was one of the hardest things for me to do. So fasting was one of the first things I started doing. I started doing cold exposure through cold showers, after, you know, reading and looking into Wim Hof a lot. Then I started, you know, a little bit after that, started doing some cryo freeze and then cold plunges, started changing my diet drastically, trying to eat a lot healthier, especially whole foods. At the time, supplementing a lot of greens, a lot of organic stuff, a lot of, just basically anything that I thought might help, collagen, vitamin C, fish oil. So I was taking a lot of supplements. So whereas now I don't take any supplements. Yeah. And so I do think the supplements all helped, as well as, like you said, the medications. I was very against, opiates for a while. I was very angry at them. I felt like, you know, but again, I realized I made the decision, and if it wasn't for opiates, and if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't have treated the Lyme. I wouldn't have dealt with all these other problems. And so I'm grateful for it. The mindset, again, that was huge. And I think, like I said, I'm about 5 months in, and I remember that's when the first time ever I took pictures of before and after of my, in a sense, weight loss journey, because that's one thing I haven't talked about, I guess. That was a big part of it. I'd gotten up to about 305 pounds. Right now, wow. I'm about 220. So I was 305 pounds. My stomach, it was basically ripping. So I had several hernias down by the groin area and the lower abdomen area. And then I had, I forget what it's called, diastasis recti, I think it's called. But basically, it was a horizontal, you know, up and down tear in my abdomen, to the point where it looked like a small head was coming out. I thought I had an alien inside me the first time this happened. I had no idea.
Wow.
And it was just because my stomach was so large, so much inflammation in my stomach, it started ripping. And so that was another injury or disability or situation I was dealing with as well. And so I started losing the weight, and I probably about 10, 15 pounds in, I took some before pictures because I just knew. I knew this was going to work. Mind you, I had battled with, you know, weight issues my entire life, since fourth, fifth grade, up and down. And as an adult, I've been as low as 178, and I've been as high as 305. And I've been everywhere in between because of the Marine Corps, because of boot camp, because of law enforcement, because of, you know, mixed martial arts and wrestling, having to make weight up. And so for the first time ever, I was like, I'm taking before pictures. I know this is going to work. And mind you, I dieted hundreds, if not thousands of times before, probably since I was 16. Maybe even earlier. And so
diets are not what they're packed up to be, right?
Not at all. I tried every one. I tried all kinds of pills, the B12 shots, again, like I said, the steroids, and almost all of this was vanity. And that's really kind of what changed that. And then COVID, my concern started becoming my immune system. And I think Lyme played a huge role in that. Is, Rich, stop worrying about how you look, start worrying about how you feel. And that's what I started doing, was focus on all of these things that were making me feel better rather than going to make me look better. And slowly but surely, but again, because I knew I was going to lose the weight, and that knowing, that belief, then started falling over to everything else. And I'll be honest, I never got tested for Lyme again. I still to this day have never been tested to make sure that I'm negative. I just, the symptoms went away. The same thing with my thyroid, my hypothyroidism. I stopped taking that medication on that. Probably around the same time I stopped taking, you know, several of my other medications like 4 years ago. I haven't been sick in almost 3 years now. I haven't been to a doctor in almost 5 years. And honestly, I know this, you know, blows people's mind away, and they don't really like it usually. I don't expect to get sick or disabled or injured or diseased again. Will it happen? You know, I guess it's possible. I don't think so. I can't fathom a way for it to happen. Because when I start seeing symptoms come on, such a pimple, a cold sore, even if I can start smelling myself, I know that I'm taking on too much stress. I'm not using my coping mechanisms. I pull back from whatever I'm doing. Usually go to the beach, start doing breath work, might start fasting a little bit more, and all of a sudden, guess what? 2 or 3 days later, that's gone. The worst I've had was I was really stressed with several things that I kind of taken on myself. And my nose started kind of running a bit. And that was, you know, I hadn't dealt with that in quite a while. Mind you, I had a sore throat. My sleep is absolutely amazing. My sleep is, I've never had good sleep. I've had sleep problems since, again, probably fifth grade. Waking up at least once or twice a night, I thought was the norm. You know, struggling to go to sleep, struggling to wake up, I thought was the norm. I don't drink caffeine. I don't take anything to sleep. I do use marijuana to help me sleep, but I can use it or not. I don't necessarily use it for sleep. It's more so to help me think and help me relax and help me, but I can fall asleep easily with or without it. No problem. And I have the absolute most amazing sleep now. Most of the things I did were holistic, and I know I've kind of went off on tangent here, but
I love it. It's all good stuff. And I absolutely believe God designed our bodies to heal themselves.
Yes.
Right. But we have to give it the right tools. Right.
Yes.
You can't be giving it drugs and McDonald's, you know, all these things. You're not going to heal yourself. I promise you. But right. Like the smart things. And so, no, I loved all the things that you mentioned that you did because they're all so huge. Right.
And then back to what you said about, you know, you brought up knowing and then belief. I believe if you know that you're going to heal, if you know that you're going to lose the weight, and that mindset's there, it all of a sudden doesn't just snap and everything's better. You're then going to start following the path of, well, is McDonald's going to help me heal? Or is this, you know, organic, you know, home cooked meal, you know, going to be better? Would sit and watch Netflix for the next 3 or 4 hours inside in a box with Wi-Fi and electricity be healthy for me, or going outside in the sun and grounding it, you know, put my feet in the dirt, going to the beach, going to the river, going to a lake, going fishing, doing exercise, moving. And mind you, I get it. I truly do get it that there's some people that are really struggling. And I truly remember when I was at a very low point, after healing from a lot of these things, the Lyme, the addiction, all that stuff, I'd gotten, you know, a lot of my material things back. I was living in a penthouse in Orange County. I was making more money than I'd ever seen. I was, you know, dating girls half my age. I had a six pack for the first time in my life. I was quote unquote living life. I thought everything was, you know, great. And in between, you know, these moments of going out and doing all these, you know, stuff that I shouldn't have been doing at my age, but it felt normal at the time. I was completely depressed, and I'd be, you know, laying upstairs in this penthouse. And so I finally forced myself to go out downstairs and sit downstairs, you know, well, not downstairs, but on our patio, and get some fresh air, get some sun, stretch. And that's where it kind of started, was just taking these small little tiny steps. And that really, that for me was huge with dealing with the depression, with dealing with a lot of the mental health issues, was just taking those small steps to go out and get fresh air, get sun, stretch, you know. And then I just kept adding things, you know, 3 minutes of sun, 3 minutes of stretching, 3 minutes of breath work, 3 minutes, and just these small little things. And then I started doing them throughout the day, you know, multiple times, 3 minutes here, 3 minutes there, 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there. And then just, you know, and so, like I said earlier about the snowballing, that starts snowballing to the other extreme. And now all I do, and that probably started about 3.5 years ago, all I do throughout my day is look for growth-minded things. And again, back to the belief and the knowing and the mindset. If I know I'm going to heal, if I believe I'm going to heal, I'm going to choose the growth-minded things, because I realized a lot of the things I was doing before weren't growth-minded. Sitting in front of a computer or a PlayStation or the TV for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours at a time, what, you know, sitting all day on a Sunday watching football from 9 in the morning till 7 at night, you know, those were things that were normal for me. You know, I was huge sports fan. If my team lost, the running joke around my family was, don't talk to me for the day, because I would make your life miserable. And my life was miserable.
Yeah.
Removing that from my life has been absolute heaven. You know, I'll still watch here and there, but nowhere near. I don't get invested like I did, because guess what? It was a wonderful distraction. It was a great way to avoid dealing with today. Sunday, it's football, honey. I'll talk to you later. Oh, work. Shh, you know, I'll talk to you. I'll deal with that later. And then we lie to ourselves. Well, Sunday's the day of rest. I wasn't resting. I was watching football and probably gorging myself, you know, and it wasn't every Sunday, but it was more Sundays than it should have ever been.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, we can all, there's always these extremes, right? Like both sides to the extremes. And it sounds like you absolutely took this extreme and went all the way on the other extreme side of it, right? Which
not always. Not always.
Not judging whatsoever, because I'm so happy that you're healthy, you're good, you feel amazing. I absolutely have zero fear of, I mean, if I get a sore throat or a cold, which, I mean, has happened, especially when I travel on airplanes. I swear sometimes I come home with a cold. But I just feel amazing. But what you said, right? Like you get a pimple, you get, if something is going on in your body, right? You get a headache, you, and if you're not hungover, right? You get a headache or just whatever. Your body is giving you signs every day, all day long, right? If we take the time to stop and listen to them, what is it telling me? And sometimes, and for me, when I get a cold, I stop and I tell myself, okay, Tanya, what have you done like the last month? Okay, you're working way too much, or you're staying up too late, or you're having way too many glasses of wine during the week, or whatever, right? Like, so I'm kind of assessing my most recent lifestyle, and I may need to change it. But we've got it. We can't ignore the signs that our bodies are giving us, because they're there to tell us what's going on. That is part of us being so in tune with our body when we get on the other side of the Lyme journey, right? Because I think that we all are. Like we can pick things up when something's off. I mean, I know it's not a fun topic, but I talk about poop all the time on my show, right? But I'm like, if I go to the bathroom and my bathroom smells off, there's a reason, right? Don't ignore these things. And I think if you stay in tune with your body, you choose the healthier decisions. Like, I think we can all just stay healthy once we get there, right? But if you do the work,
yes,
if you do the mind work, if you do the emotional work, if you do all the layers to this Lyme and beyond, I think it's very, very possible.
And that right there is the key. Because if I stop doing these things that I'm talking about right now, then I can and will get sick again. You know, it without a doubt. So I could not agree with that more. And if you don't mind, I'd like to pick up on your poop comment. I had stomach issues and bathroom issues probably since fifth grade. And I really thought it was normal. There was definitely times where it was real bad, and I just, you know, I went to the doctor. There's, you know, blood and all kinds of other problems. I got addicted to enemas for a while. That was more just a physical addiction. But when I was taking those opiates, I was taking about 35 Norcos a day, 10 milligram Norcos a day, where I was taking 8 to 10, 30 milligram oxys, you know, that usually relates with fentanyl. So I was severely constipated.
Yeah, that
to the
constipates
point where
you. Yeah, yeah.
And that pain, that bloat, that was good. And I had the pain and bloat for years before that, even as well, before the pills, from steroids, from supplements, from, diets high in processed foods. Not high, but, you know, just too much, again, processed foods. But again, when we know and we're on the other side, like you said, of the Lyme journey or any of these journeys, and we... life's completely different. And I just want to bring up that mindset aspect one more time. And this is one of my favorite analogies. I explain this to my students in martial arts and to my other clients as well. If I'm going into a fight and I don't think I'm going to win, there's no chance I'm winning. I'm not going to trip and fall and accidentally knock him out. It's unless we both walk in there saying, I'm not going to fight, you know, I'm not going to, you know, there's no way I can win. You know, and if that's the case, then there's not going to be a fight. Mm-hmm. But if one person walks in there, there's no way I can win. There's no way. I promise you, there's no way. But if at least if you have, again, you know, this, you know, just enough faith, you know, the size of a mustard seed, that's all we need. Just a tiny little bit of faith. That's all you need. Now you at least have a chance. Now it's at least 50-50 that you have a chance. But before, if you don't think you can, there's zero chance. So, you know, and then all of a sudden that belief starts growing. And that seed starts blossoming. The more and more we start watering it, the more and more we start nourishing it, you know, more and more we start really cultivating it and then believing it. And that belief, you know, turns to faith, and that faith turns to just knowing. And then the peace that comes with that is absolutely incredibly fantastic.
Almost indescribable,
I
can't
even
right?
Think of the words. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's
like just not having to worry about being sick again. Because that's all, I think it sounds like, you know, a little bit similar, maybe not all your life, but for a good majority of it, but being sick, I remember calling out of work and school on a regular basis because of my stomach. And I think the stomach issues come so much from stress, because that's one of the first things we do is we tighten up our stomach when we're in that stressful state.
Yeah.
And I think so many of us are.
Yeah.
In a constant state of fight or flight, especially yeah. after COVID.
We are, yeah. And it was just you and I, we were just chatting on a Facebook post I made the other day about the cold showers and all of that.
Yes. Because
I'm chicken. Like, I'm willing to do a lot of things. And so I am. I'm getting outside of my little box. And again, you know, for the listeners, if you don't know, I am well and I've been well and I feel amazing. But like Rich says, right, we want to just continue to enrich our lives or enhance, you know, the longevity of our healthiness. And so I play around with different things and I hear all the time about this, you know, cold showers and cold plunge. And I'm like, why not? I mean, it's not going to kill me, right? And so let me tell you, I've only done it a couple of times and I've only made it 30 seconds, but that's okay. Like, I'm going to get there, right? I don't know what it's going to do, but hey, why not try, right? And that's a great way to, like we chatted, to reset your nervous system.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And boost your immunity and all that stuff. And so there's so many things that we can just do that are free, right? During this journey, there's yes. not much is free, but you've shared a lot of tips with us today on the many things that we can do and we can afford to do for sure. So anyways, okay. So I could seriously talk to you forever. Where are you now? We know that you're happy. We know that you're healthy. Where are you living? What are you doing? Tell me all the stuff. What are you doing?
So I'd like to start with this without bragging by any means, but I truly feel like I am the wealthiest person that I've met. And mind you, I have a cousin that used to be a billionaire that owned, you know, 30 or some odd planes and, you know, helicopters. And he's still very wealthy, I'm sure. I know they, you know, went through possibly a divorce. I don't know the whole story. Anyways, but my point is the reason why I use him as an example is knowing that my health and wellness is taken care of, and that's it just makes just the mundane, the daily things just so much more beautiful. And, you know, just not having to worry about all these small little things that I was constantly worrying about. So now all I want to do is, again, continue to grow, continue to heal, whatever that actually means. You know, martial arts has been a huge part of that, and so that's where I get a lot of my growth from, physically and mentally. And it also allows me to give back, and I think I want to use, or I've been using martial arts as my way to share my story and connect with people to let them know what we're capable of. You know, at the age of 47, for me to drop that weight, for me to reverse these things, I'm able to do things. I'm now learning karate. I've been learning karate now for a little bit over a year. I'm going to be testing for my black belt in about 3 months. I just got back into jiu-jitsu pretty regularly, and as well as judo, hopefully get back into that as well, and wrestling. I started competing again in jijitsu about 2 years ago. I took first twice and then third once. I'm planning on, you know, going further with that. I teach martial arts about 5 days a week. And for me, one of the biggest things I want to show is that we're able to reverse these things, disease, disability, and weight, obesity, and things of this nature, that our bodies are much more capable than we can ever imagine. And then we can reverse the mental health issues. So many of us have been told that you have depression from your family and from, you know, from generations past, and that's what you're stuck with, and you're not going to be able to heal from that, as well as all these other diseases such as Lyme and Parkinson's, MS, and things of that nature. And I truly believe that when we can get rid of all those distractions, you know, again, that's where fasting for me has been absolutely amazing. When we can get rid of those distractions, we can start listening to our body a lot more. We can start seeing these symptoms coming at us. We can start then making different decisions, because the decisions we make is, you know, ends up becoming the person that we are. So I've been traveling more than I have in the last two years than I ever have, mostly locally. Went out to New York, was a guest or a keynote speaker for an organization that I went through, that helped me, you know, through rehab as far as with my addiction. I went there last year, and then a lot of places around the area, Mexico, Joshua Tree, Las Vegas, Palm Springs, and quite a few other places. Going to Oaxaca, Mexico in December. And I've been, you know, working on learning Spanish and Japanese, and you know, started going to church again and reconnecting there. Go to three different churches, started learning more about Jesus. Jesus really connected everything for me. I grew up in the Catholic Church and had a lot of, you know, bad memories there. And then I started, you know, diving deeper into Jesus and who he was and what his true message was, and especially his message about love. And that's really helped me immensely with loving myself, loving my family, loving my ex-wife, her husband, my, you know, all these people that I felt like hurt me over and over again. And then once I started realizing that I do love them, I am grateful for them. I am grateful for them for stepping up when I wasn't able to, for, you know, my kids, you know, father, stepfather, both of them, for stepping in and being a father that my kids needed when I couldn't. Because if I would have stayed in their lives, it would have just got worse. It wouldn't have got better. It would have just got, you know, them in my life wouldn't have allowed me to grow and expand and find these things, you know, not at the pace I am at now. I try to get back as much as possible. Well, everything I do, I get back, you know. So financially, the money I spent for me is on my necessities, which is gas and food, and that's about it. I've been sleeping in my car, how about this? I've removed myself from a permanent residence about 2 years ago, and I either sleep in my car or at my work or wherever I'm traveling to. I sleep for about 5 or 6 hours. At the end of my night, I usually go park down by the beach. I'll sleep for 5 or 6 hours, wake up and start my day by going to jiu-jitsu, going to the beach, going to the water, going for a walk or things of that nature. And
this is my choice.
Yes. You know, I just to add to that a little bit, about 3 years ago when I went back to Orange County, I got back everything materialistically that I had thought I needed, or, you know, or that I lost. And like I said, making all this money was very close to, you know, making a lot of money. You know, I think probably within a year to two, I could have easily been making seven figures, you know, through security for these underground poker games, as well as dealing coker, as well as dealing Adderall and coke. And so, mind you, not in a legal manner, not in a healthy manner. Again, according to me, I was patting myself on the back, you know, right after my mom passed away. I was making money. I was, you know, living in these great places, a mini mansion
but the bottom line was you weren't happy.
Not happy at all. And, you know, all those material things were not. And like you said earlier, the free things, that's what helped me the most. The cold plunges, the fasting, the breath work. I didn't even get a chance. But breath work has been one of the most absolutely biggest game changers for me. And the cold plunges, what that does to my nervous system. But the breath work, I use that every day, multiple times throughout the day. Whether you want to call it breath work or intentional breathing, you know, it comes from yoga, which has been around for, I think, something like 4,000 years. Which, again, you start looking into the possible whereabouts of Jesus between the ages of 13 and 30. And there's, you know, a lot of evidence showing that he was possibly wandering around Egypt and Tibet and India and, you know, around these. And then there's a lot of theories that he was learning Tai Chi and yoga. And so when I start looking into that, and I start, you know, that makes sense. That connects, you know, that's about energy, you know, manipulation. And then all of a sudden started connecting with me and all these things. And I'm like, that makes a lot more sense than what I've been believing before. And so then that for me connected everything. And that really is what brought me the true peace. Because I truly believe that the heaven that they're speaking of, especially in the Bible, is right here on earth. I truly believe that we're commanded to create heaven on earth here, not later. Because the only time that's real is right now. So that doesn't even make sense to me. I can't fathom why he would say, make heaven, you know, and I don't want to get all into that. But I truly believe that we're supposed to be creating heaven on earth right here and right now, and not waiting for this afterlife. And I don't know if there is in the afterlife. I don't know, you know, I'm not going down that road, but I'm just saying I truly believe that we're supposed to be living in this way, and we were supposed to be living this way but because of a lot of deep programming from family and society and school, and we thought we were supposed to do this, and we were constantly just putting ourselves in these places where stress and illness was running rampant.
And it's hard, you know, it's what's the saying, that rest in peace, right? Why not live in peace.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we need to do. That's what makes life so much better. And like you, I have zero regrets about the journey I went down. Yeah, some days I wish maybe didn't have to be quite as brutal as it was, right? But I probably still would have learned. But I'm just thankful for everything I went through, because it's why I am who I am today and where I am today, and the peace that I have with myself. And it's just amazing. And you've taken that to the extreme. Like you're good. You're good. I want my house. I want my bed. Right? Like, we're all different, right? Right or wrong doesn't matter. I just think you've overcome so much, Rich, and you truly are just one of my biggest inspirations. I've met a lot of people along this journey, and my thoughts go back to you a lot, because you battled a lot of things, right? You battled the worst of the worst of everything, a little bit of everything. And then you added your weight in at the end of it, right? Like, the battles just kept, you know, going on, and you beat every one of them. And you're on the other side, and you're happy, and you don't have regrets, and you don't have that anger. And you have to let go of that anger of, you know, maybe you didn't want somebody else to raise your child, but now you love the fact that they were there, right? Like, that is huge. That is hard to overcome. I mean, it really is. And so you've just, I'm just so proud of you. I'm just so excited for you. I'm so happy. I'm so excited that we've coming to each other's villages, I don't know, a year or two, however long ago it is. But it's just been amazing. And you just inspire me. You're amazing. I love what you do for the community. And I just thank you for just being raw with me today. And, you know, the listeners definitely may think this is kind of a different episode, right? But we got to share all the stuff. We just have to. Yeah. And I think that you have such an incredible story that I just wanted to dive down all that with you.
If you don't mind me sharing one more thing, you brought up regrets, and I'll be honest, I don't have one regret. And mind you, those regrets tore me down and held me down. I overdosed with my kids in a motel room. That was the last time I had custody of them. I woke up in the back of an ambulance, thought I was dead. 2 days later, I still took another pill from my sister that I stole from her. You know, I was stealing as a cop on duty, stealing pills. I was stealing from stores, you know, TVs to sell, to take care of my addiction. I was stealing and doing a lot of, you know, and mind you, I knew these things were wrong. I knew what I was doing was wrong. My central nervous, like, I felt like and back to the suicide. I remember those times where I just drive into that tree, just let go of the steering wheel. And I'd be squeezing the steering wheel as hard as I could, wanting to, and my body was like, no, we need these pills. We need. And so those regrets, you know, really, really held me down. And, you know, just to finish up what I was saying about Orange County, my last days up there, I was in a head-on collision, totaled my car, and about a month later was involved in a home invasion where three guys came in with guns and were, you know, looking for me by name. I found that out later. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know the whole story. But after that, I believed that there was just some nefarious things going on, and I pulled out of that. I came down back down to San Diego County, and at that point in time is when I started basically giving everything away, and I wanted to live a very much more minimalistic lifestyle. I was already living pretty minimally. Most of my stuff fit in two bags, but I was, you know, renting, you know, a room in a mini mansion, as well as working and living in the penthouse. And like I said, I was walking around with thousands of dollars in my pocket at all time, as well, you know, money here. I had crypto, you know, I was all these dating, just all this chaos. And so I came back down here, and that was, I just wanted to remove the chaos, and I just wanted to make life a lot simpler. And my goals now are just to be of service, to make sure that my vessel is in the best condition it possibly can, because it's an amazing gift that I'm beyond grateful for. So I want to be able to be there for anybody when they need help. So if they need help, then I'm physically, you know, and mentally capable of, yep, let's go. Let, you know, And now I'm grateful when people ask me for help. And I reach out to people to ask them, you know, if I can be of help and be of service, as well as share my story. And again, like I said, martial arts, you know, is something I've been doing for 30 some odd years. And so that's been a huge part for me, and for me to use that to connect people. you know, that are dealing with all these problems.
Yeah, no, that's kind of like the perfect way to end this, right? I mean, you've given us so much to just walk away with, so much information, knowledge. But, you know, when you were just kind of saying that, I had this little flashback of when you said earlier that, you know, you had this amazing wife and these kids and you're at Disneyland and you're not happy, you're in pain, you're whatever, right? I don't know why this just popped into my head, but I feel like I want to share it. So, you know, so many times we want to keep up with the Joneses, right? So you probably Yes. look like the Jones family over there at Disneyland. Just remember that everybody is going through a storm. Our storms are different, right? And so no matter what it is, we can all spread kindness and love, right?
Yes.
Don't assume because they look like the Joneses, right, that they really are the Joneses. And thank goodness my last name isn't Joneses, right? We talk about Karens and we talk about the Joneses. Sorry. But, I mean, just don't judge that book by its cover, right, because you never know. You don't know when somebody is just, you know, 1 minute away from not wanting to be here again, even though the outside looks good. So
yes.
The world is big, but it's small in so many ways. And just spread kindness and love and be good to one another. It helps make the world go round, right?
Couldn't agree more.
Awesome.
I feel like when we focus on the similarities rather than the differences, that makes a world of difference. And that's really, really changed me, because I could easily listen to this podcast and be like, oh, I was never a drug addict. I remember being in rehab and, you know, guys were coming up there over and over again to speak to us. You know, I started drinking at 6 and 8 and I'm like, I can't relate to that. Click off, you know, and I was listening, waiting for that one person that was, I could connect with, and all while I'm turning off everybody else. And then I finally started saying, no, I didn't start drinking at 13, but I started doing, you know, started having addictions with food probably at 9 or 10. And then, you know, years later I start, you know, I'm like, wait a second. This picture, I remember one of the pictures of me at 3 years old passing a beer back and forth with my cousin. I'm like, maybe drinking was a problem, you know? And then,
yeah.
But when I used to do the same thing with church. You know, I used to look at all the differences. I'm not that, you know, but I am this. And so when I just see the similarities, that's all I see. And I stop looking for the differences.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yes. Absolutely. They're all. Yeah, similarities, because it doesn't matter. You know, we can have, I don't know, we might have listeners out there that have never had Lyme. Maybe they've been battling cancer, right? And they're going through Yes. this dreadful journey, and just hearing the different coping mechanisms or different ways that we can calm our mind or find peace within life, right? So they don't need to have Lyme to be able to resonate with this podcast. They don't need to have a drug addiction problem to be able to resonate with this story, right? Like it's all the similarities and there's many of them. So, but you know, like I said, we're all in this storm, but you could be on a yacht. I might be on a little rowboat. Like it doesn't matter, yeah, but we're all there. Right. So it's just great. And I appreciate you so much. And so thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for taking the time to share with me. And who knows, I'm probably going to have you back on again next year, right? So be awesome. Prepared to teach us some more things and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. And I just would like to say how grateful I am for you, for this opportunity, you know, to God, to Jesus, to everybody that's helped me so many ways. And mind you, I used to be that guy that hated when people thanked God. What about your family? And for me, when I finally realized that God is my family, God is nature, God is every, but I also want to thank my family, you know, my mom, my dad, my kids, my sister, so many friends, so many people. This is just, you know, it just, and especially on this healing journey, Joe Rogan played one of the biggest roles in my healing because he brought on guests that I would have never listened to if it wasn't for him. Sad Guru and Jay Shetty and, Dr. Joe's, you know, Dispenza. And even if they weren't on his show, you know, Wim Hof, you know, I connected with them, you know, through that, you know, Neville Goddard and Alan Watts, and I know some of these are, but just it, all that started connecting and started building outward. So I'm grateful for all them, you and all this, and this absolutely amazing journey. So thank you so much.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the About of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.